I'm Christopher Springman, and you're listening to Body Language on Radio MD. You know the old cliche, you never have a second chance to make a first impression. Okay, but what about this variation? You never have a second chance to have a good death, to leave positive, lifelong memories with those who survive, a spouse, partner, children, loved ones, family, and friends. Because how you exit on that final journey as you knock on heaven's door lasts for a lifetime. You know, and I can only imagine that our next guest would agree with me. She's Katie Butler, author of Knocking on Heaven's Door, subtitled The Path to a Better Way of Death. Katie, welcome to Body Language.
Thank you, Christopher. I'm really pleased to be here.
Katie, did I get the intro right, especially the part about a good death and how that touches the lives of the living forever?
Absolutely. People who die in intensive care leave behind relatives who are very often traumatized, anxious, and depressed. One of the greatest legacies you can leave your family is to have made preparations for the kind of death that is meaningful to you. A fifth of us die in intensive care, and very, very few of us plan on ending up there.
Well, we've had similar experiences with our parents dying, good death, bad death, and sort of a neutral feeling. It's interesting that the Affordable Care Act, sometimes known as the ACA or Obamacare, has just been kicked off, and there is one provision in the ACA that is not there, that was dropped several years ago, that Medicare would reimburse physicians for counseling patients about end-of-life issues, primarily advanced directives. What are your thoughts about that?
We have a system that is upside down. Medicare pays very well for cures and for fix-its, and very poorly for relationship and time that a doctor spends with a patient. For example, my father was given a pacemaker at a cost of $7,500, but to have a discussion with the family doctor over whether or not a pacemaker was even a good idea, that doctor would only have been paid $54 for that conversation. The new health care law tried to have a provision that would have paid about $200 so that doctors could have serious in-depth conversations about people's preferences for the end of their life treatment.
Oh, but wait a minute, Katie. Aren't you talking about, ta-da!
Death panels!
Death panels. Yes.
Exactly.
As characterized by the former governor of Alaska, vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin. And that did it, didn't it?
That did it. We have a real problem with how we language and message and brand talking about the end of life. The right wing, frankly, is very good at it. You put a phrase like death panels out there, and it's the kiss of death for something that everybody wants.
It's almost like socialized medicine. Boom, the stamp of unapproval or disapproval.
Exactly. Three-quarters of us say we want to die at home. And only about a quarter to the maximum, a third, get to do that.
You know, it's interesting that you should mention that. My mother wanted to die at home. She had lung cancer that had metastasized. She had emphysema and about 127 comorbidities. And at that time, I didn't know anything about hospice and palliative care. And she did die at home. Of course, she had some help from her close personal friends, her new friends Smith and Wesson, as she put a .38 caliber bullet in her heart. Not a very graceful way to go, and totally unnecessary. This is the difference between a bad death and lingering memories and a good death when you think positively, glowingly, in a very uplifting way about how your parent or parents, as the case may be, exited this earth.
I think that that's just tragic, and I'm very sorry for what you experienced and what she experienced. And it's quite possible that she felt that that was her only alternative. And it's so too bad, because there are amazing palliative care and hospice programs that are very good at controlling pain and also dealing with the psychological issues that accompany the end of life. I'm not sure that death is ever going to be like the last of a lifetime of meaningful growth experiences, and that it is often difficult and wrenching and just emotionally harrowing for people, but right now we are making it 100% worse than it has to be. We've somehow figured out how to make it more expensive than ever before in history, and at the same time, more suffering-filled and more lingering.
In addition to buying your book, I would encourage listeners, after they go to Amazon and order a copy of Knocking on Heaven's Door, subtitled The Path to a Better Way of Death with our guest, Katie Butler, that they also check out a wonderful website, which is the site of the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization. We've done a lot of shows for them. They're funded in part by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. The URL is caringinfo.org. That's caringinfo.org. There's a tremendous amount of information here for caregivers, and I know you were cast in that role rather unexpectedly. Material about grieving, not only for yourself but for others, but especially you can download your state-specific advanced directive form, which is one of the keys to not only preparation but having a good death. Would you agree with that?
I would. Would you give me that website again?
Absolutely.
Just the title? Yeah.
This is www.caringinfo.org.
Caringinfo.org.
The National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization, a wonderful, wonderful group of dedicated folks who share your values and many of the points that you make in Knocking on Heaven's Door.
I also curate a Facebook site called Slow Medicine, and I'm actually going to post that reference to caringinfo.org because we were just now having exactly this discussion. People are writing in and saying, do I need to update my living will?
Oh,
my
yes,
mother's
you do.
96 year. Yeah. Exactly. You do. The living will is extremely limited.
Well, I have an advance directive, and I've passed it out to all the members of my family, and they understand exactly what I want, and I have, you know, I have copies stashed everywhere, and I've mailed them to people because I want it to be really easy for folks when I may not have the ability or the capacity or the wherewithal to speak for myself. I want them to know what the right thing is to do.
I've written a handwritten directive that directly addresses questions like dementia, which are usually left out of living wills. Old-fashioned living wills only talk about being comatose or within 6 months of dying. And my living will says, if I have enough dementia that you are making my decisions for me, that's all you need to know. Game over. I want comfort care only, and I do not even want antibiotics if I'm, you know, I have a life-threatening infection. I want pain control, but I don't want anything done that would unnaturally prolong my life. I think it's very crucial for people to understand the distinction between letting someone die a natural death and actively killing them. A lot of people feel extremely guilty about, let's say, refusing to allow antibiotics or a feeding tube in a parent or someone deeply loved who is suffering a very, very slow and prolonged death. My desire is simply to roll back the clock 20 or 30 years when people were allowed to have natural deaths.
I have one last question for you before we send our listeners off to Amazon to buy a copy, download a copy as the case may be, of Knocking on Heaven's Door, The Path to a Better Way of Death. Katie Butler, why is there a cast iron teapot or kettle on the cover of your book?
The reason that there's a teapot on the cover of the book is that my mother was an aficionado both of tea and of Japan. The book opens with a scene in which my mother is serving me tea from a teapot just like the one on the cover. And that's the moment where she asks me to help her get my father's pacemaker turned off. So tea and the ritual and the beauty of tea kind of punctuates the music of the book.
Katie Butler, thank you so much for joining us today on Radio MD's Body Language. It's been a joy.
Thank you very much, Christopher.
To all of you, stay well. I'm Christopher Springman.